Hello, welcome to the Angus Talking Newspaper. My name is Stacy, and on behalf of Angus Talking Newspaper, I'd like to say Happy New Year from all of us. This time, we've got some great local articles read to you by Leslie from the 18th of December, Fiona from the 1st of January, and Ginny from the 8th of January. In addition to this, we've got some TNF soundings for you. The first one is a numerical puzzle for listeners, which I'm quite excited about myself. And if you're listening to this from USB, we've also got a really unique trip around the world through audio. I hope you enjoy it. And with that, let's get started.
Hi, everyone. Leslie here reading from the newspaper of Thursday, December the 18th. Substation is turned down. Plans for an electricity substation to be built in Angus have been refused by councillors amid fears it would be an industrial carbuncle. The application lodged by SSEN sought permission to build a substation platform at Teeling. The proposed location is at the southern end of a line of planned superpylons SSEN want to run from Aberdeenshire to Angus. The Scottish Government will decide on the line scheme. However, a decision on the substation application was in the hands of Angus Council. Under the plans, 22 open-air substation bays would have covered an area equivalent to approximately 28 football pitches. The proposals went before councillors at a special full council meeting on Tuesday. The plans prompted the largest ever number of objections to an Angus planning application, with the local authority receiving more than 1,700 representations. During Tuesday's meeting, a series of emotionally charged deputations objected to the proposals were heard by councillors. Speaking at the meeting, Councillor Lloyd Melton said, "Even when pressed, the applicant could not demonstrate tangible economic benefit. We don't get to a fair and inclusive transition by ignoring the views of local communities and ripping up the local environment. We get there by working with people and making energy work for communities." Councillor Gavin Nicol added that the proposals were at odds with their surroundings. He said, "Coming out of Dundee up the dual carriageway towards Teeling, there's a road sign saying Birthplace of Scotland. And a few hundred metres up the road, we're going to be faced with this industrial carbuncle. This project does not benefit anyone in the area and also ruins the rural setting." The plans were subsequently rejected and 19 councillors voted against the proposals and 2 in favour. The substation decision comes after Angus Council unanimously decided to oppose the multi-million pound overhead line scheme last month. Statutory consultees, such as councils, were given 2 months to give their response to the application. The Scottish Government will ultimately decide on the application. However, the local authority's opposition could spark a public inquiry. Budget survey. Angus Council has opened its annual public consultation on the setting of next year's budget. Rising costs, increasing demand for services, and real terms reductions in grant funding means the local authority must take difficult decisions about how limited resources are allocated. A balance needs to be struck between delivering services that most people want while providing support that some people need, such as social work services, welfare support, personal care for older people, and those with additional needs. Theme night raises over 4,000k. Community spirit shone brightly at Lethem Bowling Club recently when local man Malcolm Andrews was joined by family and friends for a 60s and 70s themed charity night. The event raised an incredible £4,722, which has been divided between Maggie's Dundee and Ward 32 at Ninewells Hospital, so they both received £2,361 each. The evening was filled with music, dancing and generosity, highlighted by a successful auction and raffle, which was supported by local businesses and sports club. Malcolm said that he'd been moved to organise the event, raising funds due to his own recent experience. After a shock diagnosis of prostate cancer following a routine checkup, I wanted to raise awareness and give back to Maggie's Dundee in Ward 32 for the incredible care I received throughout my treatment. This fundraiser was my way of saying thank you and helping others who might face a similar journey. Pupils proved to be bright sparks at electronics. A group of Angus primary school pupils recently enjoyed a circuits and electronic workshop as part of a collaboration between Dundee Science Centre and SSEN Transmission. Designed to teach pupils how electricity works through basic engineering, electronics and circuitry concepts, the workshops enjoyed by pupils from White Hills Primary School in Forfar are funded by SSEN Transmission. Jill Farrow, Dundee Science Centre CEO, said, "These workshops will give children hands-on experience with technology, turning complex science into something tangible and fun. When pupils see a light turn on because they're wiring the circuit, learning becomes more exciting and memorable. By building curiosity and confidence in STEM, we encourage young people to question the world around them, develop problem-solving skills, and demonstrate that pupils can create as well as consume technology." Carnoustie Convoy. Carnoustie High Street was a riot of colour and light last Thursday when the town's Christmas convoy was held. For the second consecutive year, the events attracted a host of spectators as well as a variety of local vehicles, including tractors, vans, trailers, lorries, trikes, 4x4s, cars and motorcyclists. It was also supported by local members of the Scottish Fire and Rescue Service and also Santa and his sleigh, who appeared in association with Monifieth and District Rotary Club. The convoy was escorted by members of the Carnoustie, Monifieth and Sidlaw's community policing team. High Street businesses also opened late for shoppers, and a team of elves distributed festive goodies, played fun games and announced the winner of the Christmas window competition. Funds raised will go towards the cost of the town's Christmas lights. Town scores an ace with author. The author of a new book about golf says she was surprised to find that so many people living in the famous golf town of Carnoustie had never played the game. Glasgow-based journalist Dundee Cudhiddie's book, The Wee Scottish Guide of Golf, People Who Love It and Some Who Don't, is the result of 6 months of research, during which she spoke to scores of people in Scotland for her collection of quirky golf-related stories, visiting a number of golf courses along the way. Dundee, Didi, who revealed that she has never actually played golf herself, said that Carnoustie had been quite high on her list to visit. She said, "Of course I had to visit Carnoustie during my research and was delighted to discover there's a train station in the town called Golf Street, a picture of which now features in my book. I got some excellent material from Carnoustie residents, including the young mum who spoke about working at the golf course restaurant during the holidays when she was at high school. She told me the tips were great, especially if the Open was on and the Americans were over. You'd bring a burger and chips to their table and they'd hand you £20 notes and say, keep the change." Several people Didi spoke to in the town also admitted that they'd never played golf, among them a few who claimed to be the only person in Carnoustie who had never picked up a club. The Wee Scottish Guide to Golf is priced £6.99 and available from bookshops now. REF brings back memories for groups. Members of our Arbroath Football Memories group enjoyed a visit recently from former Category 1 Sandy Roy. He's a Referee 1 referee as part of a Specsavers sponsored nationwide tour. For the third season in a row, the Scottish FA's official eye and ear care partner has facilitated football legends and retired referees to speak to participants of Football Memories, a project designed to support people living with memory loss, conditions including such as dementia and Alzheimer's, as well as those experiencing loneliness and social isolation. Following a successful opening event in Inverness with Scotland hero Darren Jackson, the tour continued along the East Coast, where Sandy, one of the most respected officials in Scottish football, shared stories from his remarkable 25-year career. Specsavers is sponsoring memory boxes for the referee tour and has helped to add some exciting new memorabilia, including vintage football boots and match day programmes to support discussion. Robert Craig, Scottish Football Museum chairperson, said, "It was wonderful to welcome Sandy to Arbroath as the tour continues to demonstrate the real impact football memories has across Scotland. His stories from an extraordinary refereeing career were hugely enjoyed, and Specsavers continued to support its invaluable, allowing us to deliver these sessions for people living with memory loss or social isolation. And now I think we move along to a little bit of sport. So first of all, it's 4 for Athletic. Weir praises impact that Rennie has made since signing. 4 for Athletic boss Jim Weir praised the impact Martin Rennie has made since joining in the summer. The 31-year-old striker arrived back in Angus from Clyde, having previously had 2 spells at Montrose. Rennie has racked up 10 goals and 4 assists in 27 games so far and was named Player of the Month for League 2 in November. We're told 4 for Athletic TV, Martin's an experienced player and he does great for us. The goals he started to accumulate is fantastic. 4 for progressed to face Queen's Park in the last 16 of the KDM Evolution Trophy after beating City at home on penalties. However, it was back to earth with a bump on Saturday as they lost 3-1 away to Annan Athletic in League 2. And now we move to Brechin City. Brechin City remained top of the Highland League despite a 1-0 defeat at Strathspey Thistle on Saturday. It was actually a day when none of the top sides won, with the 5 in the chasing back all drawing. The only goal of the game arrived after 34 minutes when City failed to clear their lines and Sean Morrison found the bottom corner. The visitors had chances in the second period but were unable to fashion an equaliser. And now a little bit about Arbroath. Character on show to beat Jags. Arbroath co-manager David Gold praised his side's character following a 2-1 win at home to Partick Thistle on Saturday. It was the second visiting third in the championship as Arbroath moved 5 points clear on Ayr United in their hunt for a playoff spot. The home side battled against the wind in the first half and Alex Samuel had the ball in the net for Thistle but was judged to be offside. And there is quite a lengthy, detailed blow-by-blow account, but I'm just going to leave that out. And then finally, we move to the last item here, Montrose. A sense of deja vu over Mo Win. Montrose boss Stuart Petrie described beating one of the best sides in League One as really comforting. It was 3-0 for the third week in a row as Montrose defeated Stenhouse Muir at Lynx Park on Saturday. However, this was arguably a much tougher test than Benbur in the second Scottish Cup or bottom of the table Kelty Hearts. Montrose took the lead after 12 minutes as Graham Webster fired in after good work by Glare Lyons down the left. The home side doubled their lead on 34 minutes with Callum Sandilands tapping in after Lyon had maybe not intentionally played the ball across the face of the goal from a Webster cross. The 3 points were secured 7 minutes from time. Sandilands on target again as he smashed home from another Lions assist.
Hello, this is Fiona here, reading from the Angus County Press, Thursday, January the 1st, 2026 edition. First of all, a very happy belated new year to you all. Cattle grazing for conservation. A new project is using conservation grazing to help boost biodiversity and support rural livelihoods and sustainable farming in an Angus Glen. Forestry and Land Scotland, FLS, is working with local farmer Andrew Walker and his herd of Ling cattle to help improve the landscape in Glen Prosen. The cattle will produce sustainable, high-quality beef and provide a farm income while also doing their bit for the area's plants and wildlife. Christine Reid, FLS Angus Glen's programme manager, said, "On the land we manage in Glen Prosen, we're aiming to restore and create a mosaic of native woodlands and more open habitats to benefit a wide range of wildlife. Integrating livestock grazing into the wider land management plans supports the habitat restoration and provides opportunities for farming, including sustainable food production." New book educates on fire risk. A new children's book by an Angus author is educating youngsters about the risk and prevention of wildfires. Heather Munro's Race Against the Flames offers young readers an adventure grounded in one of today's most pressing rural challenges. Its publication follows one of the UK's worst wildfire seasons. Quit for health and wealth. Ash Scotland is encouraging smokers in Angus to aim for a tobacco-free 2026 to save thousands of pounds and improve their physical and mental well-being. The health charity's call is part of its campaign encouraging people who smoke to give up using self-determination or access NHS Scotland's free expert stop smoking support service called Quit Your Way. Quitting smoking is one of the most impactful steps a person can take to lower their risk of long-term smoking-related illnesses. When people decide to give up smoking as their New Year's resolution, not only will they find their health can improve within days, but an average smoker can save in the region of £277 by January 31st and an impressive £3,332 by the end of the year. Visit the Quit Your Way Scot website or call the Quit Your Way Scotland free helpline on 0800 84 84 84. That's 0800 84 84 84. A feast for rally fans. The historic Lombard Rally Festival is coming to Angus this year for the first time. The rally car event will take place on Saturday and Sunday, June the 13th and 14th at Brechin Castle, showcasing a collection of valuable vehicles that are rarely seen in action. The Lombard Rally Festival series, which started in 2018, aims to revive memories of the Lombard RAC Rally, once the UK's largest attended sporting event. The series has been gaining popularity for offering a chance to see historic rally cars that are no longer fit for competition due to their value, age, or the owner's preference to preserve them. The cars, which range from ex-works vehicles from the 1960s to early World Rally Championship models, will be seen in action during the weekend. Further information at the Lombard Rally Bath website. UK first for local nurse. NHS Tayside has welcomed the appointment of the UK's first Parkinson's nurse with a special interest in mental health, marking a significant step forward in care for people living with Parkinson's across Tayside. The new post, held by Melanie McGill, is based within the neurology team at Ninewells Hospital and has been made possible through 2 years of Pump Prime funding from charity Parkinson's UK. This role will work across Tayside to improve identification, assessment, and support for the mental health needs of people with Parkinson's and their families. Parkinson's is a complex, progressive brain condition with more than 40 symptoms, ranging from tremor and pain to anxiety, depression, and cognitive change. While physical symptoms are often well recognized, mental health issues such as anxiety, depression, apathy, and psychosis can be overlooked, despite affecting nearly half of people with Parkinson's. An estimated 450 people with Parkinson's locally may require mental health input, with around 30% experiencing anxiety and 40% depression. Melanie brings over 15 years' experience as a mental health nurse, having worked across both inpatient and community services in NHS Tayside and NHS Fife. She said, "I'm incredibly proud to be taking on this pioneering role within NHS Tayside. Parkinson's affects the whole person, not just physical movement and mental health symptoms such as anxiety and depression can be just as disabling. My aim is to ensure people and their families feel listened to, supported and cared for both emotionally and physically, and that mental health is recognised as a core part of Parkinson's care. The new post will work closely with neurologists, Parkinson's specialist nurses, psychologists, and wider multidisciplinary teams, while strengthening links with community and third sector support. The additional capacity will also support earlier access to advanced Parkinson's treatments and help reduce pressure on overstretched mental health services. Flexibility for visitor levies. A bill is being prepared to give councils greater flexibility over how they design and implement a visitor levy. The Visitor Levy Scotland Act 2024 grants councils the power to raise funds for tourist services and facilities by applying a charge on overnight stays based on accommodation costs. New proposals will give councils the choice of setting a fixed amount instead and setting different fixed amounts for different locations, times of year, or types of accommodation. The legislation will also clarify how levies are applied to sales via booking platforms and the information accommodation providers must share with councils. It will be introduced in early 2026. Public Finance Minister Ivan McKee said, "Our aim has been to give councils the flexibility to design a levy that works for their areas, while ensuring businesses can easily understand what it means. It became clear that further flexibility would be welcomed. That is why we have decided to legislate next year." Job change is a serious undertaking for Charlie. A Forfar teenager has become one of the UK's youngest funeral directors after making an unexpected career move last year. At just 18 years old, Charlie Gowans made the decision to leave behind a job in the food production industry to pursue a career in funeral care after stumbling across an advert for a position at local funeral director Alexander Bain. Now aged 19, Charlie is working at Co-op Funeral Care, William Black, in Brechin. He said, "Funeral care was something I'd never thought about before. And when I saw the job advertised last year, I thought, why not? Naturally, I was a little nervous when I got the role as a funeral services coordinator, but I decided to give it a go." As an FSC, Charlie's duties included working closely with the rest of the team and supporting families during such a sensitive time in their lives. After settling into his role, gaining valuable skills and insight into the sector, Charlie knew that he wanted to be a funeral director. He continued, "When a funeral director position opened at William Black, I applied. I had been working at the company for only 9 months. My main thought when applying for the position was that they'd think I was too young. All I was hoping was to get through to the interview stage and gain interview experience, so I'd be prepared for the future." To his delight, he was successful in the interview. Charlie hopes to break the stigma around death and bereavement and openly talks about his career with friends and family. Peatland restoration. More than 300 hectares of peatland have been restored on the hills surrounding a key Scottish water reservoir in the Angus Glens. A total of 338 hectares has now been restored at a remote upland area near Backwater Reservoir in Glen Isla, with work being split into two phases over the course of the year, beginning in April. The project is part of a catchment scale approach to protecting the source water quality of the reservoir, as well as improving biodiversity and capturing carbon. Restoring peatland is key to holding water within the land rather than it running straight off the hills into the reservoir during times of heavy rainfall. This helps to reduce the amount of organic matter, such as dissolved carbon, in the water, making the treatment process simpler and less energy intensive. There are plans for a third phase of work to be carried out this year, dealing with another 192 hectares, making it one of Scottish Water's biggest peatland restoration projects so far. The work has been delivered by contractors Mackenzie Construction, working with specialist partner McGowan Environmental. Regular ecology surveys and close collaboration with local stakeholders, including Forestry and Land Scotland, landowners and the local Raptor Group, have been central to the project's delivery. Cutting the risk of flu. Despite its usual seasonality in winter, flu is an unpredictable virus, and while these latest figures are encouraging, the flu season is not yet over. PHS is reminding people that small actions can make a big difference in protecting themselves and others. If you have symptoms such as a cough, a high temperature, and you're feeling tired and achy, you can help reduce the spread of flu by taking the following steps. Stay off work and don't visit hospitals or care homes until you're feeling better. Limit contact with others, especially those at higher risk, such as babies, the elderly, and those with underlying health conditions. Cover your mouth and your nose with a tissue when you cough or sneeze, and bin them right away. Wash your hands regularly with soap and warm water. If you must go out, consider wearing a face covering. Anyone with symptoms can complete a handy self-help guide on NHS Inform to check your symptoms and find out what to do next. www.nhsinform.scot/influenza. Winter heating payments made. Over 837,000 payments have been made to people across the country to help with heating costs this winter, thanks to a unique package of support that provides more for people in Scotland than anywhere else in the UK. More than 268,500 payments for child winter heating payment and winter heating payment have been made and are likely to have already landed in people's bank accounts. Child winter heating payment supports families caring for children with the highest disability support needs, and the vast majority of payments have already been made. Winter heating payment is a guaranteed annual payment for people receiving certain benefits. This is irrespective of how cold the temperature gets outside, unlike the Department for Work and Pensions cold weather payment, which is only paid if the average temperature reaches or is forecast to reach freezing or below for a full week. Over 568,000 pension age winter heating payments have been made to people aged 66 and over. This has replaced the DWP winter fuel payment in Scotland and is at a higher rate than elsewhere in the UK. Payments will continue to be made throughout the winter. All Social Security Scotland winter payments are automatic, with no need for recipients to apply. Social Justice Secretary Shirley Ann Somerville said, "Costs are rising and there will be many people struggling with household bills this winter. We're providing winter help no matter the weather, and I'm pleased that over 750,000 payments have already been made to do just that." Concert in aid of Alzheimer's Scotland. A well-attended Christmas concert was held just before Christmas in the former Old and Abbey Church Hall in Arbroath. This event sold out quickly, with all proceeds going to Alzheimer charity. The choir performed a programme of popular Christmas songs. There was a raffle and also two stalls with artwork from Cara Rooney and Birkhill Men's Shed, selling their wares for the Alzheimer Scotland charity. The choir consisted of Jill Bridges, Heidi Cathro, Maggie Finlay, Evelyn Fordyce, Louise Gray, Shona Braid, Eileen Ramsey, Roger Brunton, James Hutchison, Ian Johnson, Brian Kelly, Gary Mitchell, Jim Ramsey, and Elaine Greenhill was accompanist. The event was organised and staged by Gary Mitchell, Eileen Ramsey, who directed the choral rehearsals. The concert raised a considerable amount for Alzheimer's Scotland. New venture brings businesses together. An Angus social enterprise, which started from a foster mum's need to more easily find all the resources available to assist her business, is launching a quarterly magazine next week to help its growing business community build their firms and social connections. The idea for Angus Business Hub CIC came to fore for graphic designer and mum of two, Freya Big, when she went to a local networking event in autumn 2024 and left feeling Angus businesses needed one place to find all the support resources available to them, to save time searching for them across multiple organisations, reduce the barriers to using them, as well as somewhere to meet local people, like them for peer support, collaboration and friendship to combat the social isolation of being self-employed. But instead of another information and events organisation like the existing ones, Freya recognised they needed a community like United K-pop, the fan site and community she created in 2011 and ran for 7 years, which grew to more than 12,000 followers and became the leading news source for K-pop in the UK and Europe. So Freya came up with the idea for Angus Business Hub CIC, the new voluntary-run space, social enterprise for support, advice and connection for Angus business owners. Several months later, she met Fiona Fotheringham, a local utility warehouse franchisee, and they set up a Facebook group in June last year, which now has more than 470 members, with associated Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn pages created the following month. As the Facebook group's membership grew, with information and support shared through it, the need and desire to hold in-person events grew too. So Freya and Fiona held networking and consultation events across Angus to find out what kind of events local business owners wanted. Armed with that information, they registered Angus Business Hub as a social enterprise community interest company, otherwise known as a CIC. A company which trades, but with community benefit goals rather than personal profit. This was set up last September and applied to the Angus Community-led Vision Fund, which is administered by Angus Rural Partnership, for funding to hold in-person events and create a website and magazine. ARP awarded Angus Business Hub CIC £4,100 from the Scottish Government's Rural Community-led Local Development Fund 2025 to 2026, which has paid for more in-person networking, support and social events to be held in Forfar, Monifieth and Montrose, as well as have Freya build the hub's website and design its new quarterly magazine, Biz and Blether, which is being launched on Thursday, January the 8th, aiming to engage more Angus businesses with the hub and generate customers for them. The new 52-page quarterly magazine will have local business news, features about community projects, business profiles, event listings, a business directory, and adverts. Its print run of 500 copies will be distributed in key community locations with footfall of around 300,000 people, including libraries, community centres and GP surgery waiting rooms. Conference to look at farming challenges. Bookings are now open for Arable Scotland's new format in-person conference, which will take place on Tuesday, February the 24th, 9:30 to 4:30 at the James Hutton Institute's Invergowrie campus, to be held at the Crop Innovation Centre between 9:30 and 4:30pm. Arable Futures will focus on the real challenges and opportunities facing Scottish arable farming and is designed to provide practical insight, informed discussion and forward thinking for farm businesses planning for the years ahead. The day will open with an introductory session hosted by the Agriculture and Horticulture Development Board, bringing market specialists together to assess what lies ahead for the sector and where genuine opportunities may emerge. Further details are available at https://www.arable/scotland.org.uk. Now, sport. Ross is delighted to get one over on Inverness. Montrose assistant manager Ross Campbell was delighted to finally get one over on Inverness Caledonian Thistle, having lost the three previous meetings in 2025. A 2-1 victory as Montrose returned to Lynx Park sees them end the year sitting 5 points off the playoff spots in League One. They would have to come from behind to grab the 3 points, though, as after just 3 minutes, Alfie Stewart found the top corner to give Inverness the lead. The visitors would pass up numerous opportunities to extend their lead, and eventually it would come back to bite them. The home side equalised on 62 minutes when Blair Lyons turned in a Callum Sunderland's free kick from close range. Before kick-off could be taken, Inverness were reduced to 10 men when Ross Millen was shown a red card, and Montrose would take advantage. Their winner arrived on 74 minutes as Kerr Waddell showed good strength at the back post to hold off his marker and head in as Sunderland's corner. Campbell told Montrose FC TV, "We're naturally delighted to get the win. Inverness have played us a few times now, including the playoffs, and always got the better of us. So, to edge them in a big game at the start of the third quarter is a really nice feeling." Sponsorship boost the National Curling Event. The Scottish Senior Curling Championships will take place at Curl Forfar from January the 15th to the 18th, following last month's qualifying rounds. Scotland's top over 50s men and women's teams will compete for the national title, as well as the opportunity to represent their country at the World Senior Curling Championships in Switzerland. This year's competition has received a substantial financial boost thanks to investment from returning headline sponsor, independent Scottish broadband provider GoFibre. The sponsorship follows a significant period of growth for the company after it was chosen to deliver full fibre broadband to hard-to-reach premises across north-east Scotland. Project Gigabit is the UK government's programme to enable hard-to-reach communities to access lightning-fast gigabit capable broadband being administered north of the border by the Scottish Government. GoFibre has invested in the championships through its social impact strategy, which aims to make a positive, long-term difference for its customers and their communities. Well, as I said at the beginning, a very happy 2026 to you all. That's Fiona signing off now. Bye-bye.
Angus County Press, Thursday, January the 8th, read by Jenny. The front page shows a photograph of Arbroath jeweller Robin Key, who has praise for a charity's help. An Angus jeweller who faced the absolute disaster of losing his sight has praised a North East charity for helping him to adapt and keep working. Robin Key, 81, from Arbroath, was diagnosed with macular degeneration after attending an eye appointment for cataract treatment and feared it could stop him doing his job. With his eyesight deteriorating, he was in a lonely place until he contacted North East Sensory Services, which helped him to find ways of adapting. The charity works with thousands of blind and deaf people and those with visual and hearing impairments across Angus, Aberdeen, Aberdeenshire, Dundee and Murray. Its main objective is to help people with sensory loss to live as independently as possible. A turning point came in 2023 when Robin contacted Ness and the charity's Angus branch sent a local vision rehabilitation specialist to his home. Ness runs several crucial support services in Angus, including ICT for All, which provides tailored training and support in the use of accessible technology and digital devices. As well as helping Robin use a foldable symbol cane to get around, Ness staff in Angus also guided him through the latest technology. The accessibility features on his computer and smartphone allow him to have incoming messages read aloud, and he can also send messages by voice command and connect his phone to his hearing aid. Ness staff even found a way to help him continue with his hobby of bird watching, which he now does by recording birdsong and using an app to identify the species. Their support also helped Robin to continue working, adapting his techniques and using special magnifiers and lights. He said, "I've found different ways for making jewellery and make it by proxy by teaching other people, which helps to keep me involved in the aspects of jewellery making that have become really difficult." Upgrading of toilets. People in Angus with profound disabilities and complex needs will have greater freedom and independence with the development of new changing places toilets. The new facilities at Manaki Country Park and Arbroath Courthouse, totalling more than £172,000, are part of a £10 million Scottish Government programme with investment taking place between 2025 and 2027. Arbroath Courthouse Community Trust is in the process of renovating and repurposing two historic listed buildings into a community space. It will offer opportunities for small-scale business use, social events, and spaces for support with disadvantage and isolation. The new facility at Moniki, operated by Angus Alive, will be an extension to the existing public toilet block. Scientist honoured. A leading forensic soil scientist from the James Hutton Institute has been conferred the honour of Dame Commander of the Order of the British Empire in the New Year Honours List. Professor Lorna Dawson, head of the Centre for Forensic Soil Science at the Hutton, was recognised for her services to innovations in soil and forensic science. An internationally renowned soil scientist, Professor Dawson has over 35 years of experience in managing and conducting research in soil and plant interactions, particularly their application in the criminal justice system. Weather delays roadworks. The start of planned roadworks in Forfar and Kirriemuir have been put back by a week due to forecasts of adverse weather conditions. The works to be carried out in the centre of both towns were due to start last Monday, but Angus Council took the decision to delay the start of both projects until next week. It followed a Met Office yellow warning which was issued at the end of last week. A council spokesperson said, "Due to adverse weather conditions being forecast for the area, a Met Office yellow warning for snow and ice joined by strong northerly winds and sub-zero temperatures, we've taken the decision to postpone the start of planned roadworks in Forfar and Kirriemuir. We apologise for any inconvenience this may cause, but it is in the interests of everyone's safety and, weather permitting, work that had been scheduled to begin on Monday, January 5th, will now start from Monday, January 12th. Novel tells family saga. There is a photograph of author Maria Burgess with her dog. An Angus author has drawn on her personal history for her new book, which tells a tale of war and family. In 1930s Warsaw lived two privileged sisters, Ida, glamorous and self-assured, and Louisa, the spirited tomboy, striving to fulfil the ambitions their German-born father once held for the son he never had. At 17, Louisa's world is upended when her homeland is occupied. Caught between two identities, she must decide where her true allegiance lies. Ida, meanwhile, newly married and expecting her first child, is living under Soviet occupation in eastern Poland. When she and her baby vanish, Louisa begins a search that will span decades. Ironically, the war that destroys Ida brings Louisa adventure and love. But her life becomes driven by survivor's guilt, a need to live not only for herself, but for her lost sister. Inspired by the life of the author, Maria Burgess's mother, Finding Ida is a gripping family saga, exploring themes of faith, loss and forgiveness, and the enduring human drive to survive. At its heart, it is a story about identity and belonging. Maria's career as a reporter and producer with the BBC spanned almost four decades. Over the years, she has attempted to tell her mother's story, but it was only after moving to Scotland that the book began to take shape. Services to conservation. A former Royal Marine Commando from Forfar has been awarded a knighthood in the King's New Year Honours List. Simon Milne, who has been Regis Keeper for the Royal Botanic Garden in Edinburgh for the last 12 years, has been recognised for his services to botany, conservation and horticulture. Also a former director of the Sir Harold Hillier Gardens and chief executive of the Scottish Wildlife Trust, Sir Simon has long held interest and expertise in leadership, biodiversity conservation and international collaboration. He said receiving the honour is deeply meaningful as he prepares to retire. He continued, "It is an immense honour to be appointed a Knight Bachelor, the second in 355 years, for this truly remarkable organisation." My interest in plants dates to the 1970s, when, as a child, I helped propagate seeds brought back by my uncle from fieldwork in the Far East and volunteered on a local nature reserve. Receiving this award as I prepare to retire from such an extraordinary community is deeply meaningful. Swimmers brave the chill for annual Duke. There are six photographs of swimmers at our Broth. Dozens of swimmers from our Brotham district gathered at the town's harbour on New Year's Day. The Dukers took to the water in sunny but freezing conditions, with a few flakes of snow falling as the event began. Families, friends and supporters lined the shore to cheer on participants, some of whom wore fancy dress and raised money for local charities. The local lifeboat crew made sure everybody was safe in the water, while on shore, two first members of St Andrew's First Aid were also on hand. The Duke began at around 2 p.m. with 13-year-old piper Ramsay Campbell from Blairgowrie House School RAF Cadet Pipe Band leading the way before also taking part. Hot tea and coffee were available at the RNLI stall, while the adult Dukers were offered a dram to warm up afterwards. Auction yields rare find for mechanic. There is a photograph of the mechanic on a tractor. An Angus mechanic made the find of a lifetime at a recent vehicle auction in the county. Aidan Rashish Hassis, 17, has long had an interest in anything mechanical, from vintage vehicles to motorsport, and is in the process of setting up his own business. As well as carrying out small repair jobs, he buys, restores and sells a wide range of machines, including mowers, quads, dirt bikes, motorbikes and some classic cars, sourcing from online markets and auctions. It was during a visit to one auction that he made a lucky find, an early garden tractor produced in Wisconsin, USA, which is believed to be one of just three in the UK. The tractor is now undergoing restoration at Aidan's Glenprozen workshop, from where he documents his activities on social media. A budding motorsport driver, he shares his activities at Roads to a Racer, whilst details of his custom-built vehicles and rare collectibles can be found at Aidan Motor Adventures. Appeal after car stolen near Arbroath. Police officers are appealing for information after a car was stolen from a property near Arbroath and later involved in a crash in Dundee. The car, a blue BMW 320, was stolen from outside a property on an unnamed road off the A92 at Inverkeela between 7 and 8 p.m. on Sunday, December 28, 2025. Inquiries so far have established that the car crashed into a wall in Pitcairo Road, Dundee, at around 9:10 p.m. on the same date. The car was then traced in Bingham Terrace, Dundee, a short time later. The driver left the scene prior to police arrival. No injuries have been reported, and extensive inquiries are ongoing to trace the driver. Anyone with information is asked to contact Police Scotland on the non-emergency number 101. Ongoing challenges to keep our water flowing. There's a photograph of Backwater Dam, which is very low. People in Scotland consumed more than 470 billion litres of water in 2025, in the midst of some of the driest weather in almost two centuries, according to the latest Scottish water figures. The statistics show that throughout the year, domestic and business customers across Scotland used a total of 472 billion litres of water, the equivalent of about 189,000 Olympic swimming pools. Scottish Water's year of 2025 in numbers tells a story of massive ongoing challenges on water resources related to climate change and of huge investment in improvement to its infrastructure and service to customers. The weather, and specifically a lack of rain earlier this year and for much of the summer, is what prompted the company to call on customers to use water as efficiently as possible. The publicly owned utility faced these challenges to maintain normal supplies across the country, but particularly in parts of the east. Scotland experienced its driest January to April period since 1964, which was the 15th driest in the past 190 years. In the east, it experienced its driest January to August period since 1959, and fifth driest in the past 190 years. One of the Scottish Water's reservoirs, which was affected the most by this, was Backwater Dam in Glen Eila, where data shows it was the driest year since 1972-73. Backwater reached its lowest recorded level in more than 40 years, when storage was at 31.3% on October the 30th. Scottish Water is always reminding customers that water is our most precious natural resource and is always worth saving, even in winter, because resources next summer could be lower as a result of below average rainfall over winter and spring. The company worked hard to boost local supplies where needed, and one way it did so was by tankering water in, with a total of 3,933 vehicles deployed by the end of November. Scottish Water also faced continuing challenges with wastewater, and the numbers there were no less stark. A spokesperson said, "It cost the company about £10 million per year to clear chokes or blockages in sewers, often caused by flushing the wrong things down toilets. The number of annual chokes ranges from about 34,000 to 36,000, and the average cost of clearing one is £297. The utility is always investing to improve services and did so throughout 2025. It also restored over 600 hectares of peatland in 2025 at various sites around Scotland, including around Backwater Reservoir. Sport. Brechin shocked as boss resigns. Brechin City was shocked last week by the sudden resignation of manager Ray McKinnon. The former Dundee United and Montrose midfielder was in his second spell at Glebe Park, with City sitting second in the league. McKinnon, who previously managed City from 2012 to 15, initially returned on an interim basis last March, some 4 months after leaving Forth for Athletic. City just missed out on the title on goal difference to Brora Rangers, despite winning 8 of his 9 games in charge. However, McKinnon had done enough to be handed the job on a permanent basis over the summer. A reason for his departure has not yet been made public, with City putting out a statement on Friday revealing McKinnon had attended his resignation with immediate effect. Watson and Garden will take charge for the first time when Deveron Vale visit Glebe Park this Saturday. City has signed midfielder Calvin Beattie on loan from Dundee United. He was with Airdrieonians for the first half of the campaign. Meanwhile, goalkeeper Craig Hepburn and midfielder Harry Craig have returned to their parent clubs, St Johnstone and Montrose, respectively.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, it's Tina here. I've got a number puzzle for you. Quite an easy one to start with. We're going to begin with the number in Downing Street, where the Prime Minister lives. What is it? Take that number and subtract two threes. from that answer, multiply by the number of days in 1 week. Then halve that. And finally, add the number of gold rings mentioned in that traditional Christmas song, and you have your final number. I'll give you the answers shortly, but if you need a bit more thinking time or want to go back to the beginning, then now's your chance. Here are the answers and how we got there. Starting with the number in Downing Street where the Prime Minister lives, we have 10. Subtracting 2 3s, that's 6, we get the answer 4. Now multiply that 4 by the number of days in the week, giving us 28. Halving that gives us 14. And adding those gold rings mentioned in that song, 5 gold rings, we have the final answer, 19. Did you get that?
TNS Soundings.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, this is Amanda with an article written by Fiona. Hold on to your hats. We're about to take a trip around the world to explore how technology and simple human determination are making life easier for people with visual impairment. We will travel to Colorado, Mumbai, Chichester, and finally into outer space. At a research university in Colorado named the School of Minds, an innovative new device is helping people who are blind or who have low vision to feel facial expressions. The assistive technology is a wristband and a pair of glasses that use computer vision to translate facial expressions into vibrations on the wearer's wrist. This technology has been named Hapware, and it recreates the sensation of nonverbal cues through vibrations. For example, a smile feels like an upward U-shape pattern on the wrist, while a wave creates a side-to-side motion. Hapware co-founder and chief technology officer Brian Duarte, PhD, who lost his sight at age 18, said he was amazed by the accuracy and intuitiveness of feedback from the wristband. In tests, within just 90 seconds of wearing the device, volunteers could identify 7 nonverbal cues with 95% accuracy. One of the first users said, "When I began to feel the vibration sets and was able to interpret their meaning, it began to restore a long-lost depth of everyday communication." Hapware's device is currently being tested by potential users and is expected to launch commercially in early 2026. The company plans to offer the product at a $99 pre-order cost and a small monthly subscription. Let's jet off now to Mumbai, where 2 Bombay High Court judges came to the rescue of a blind woman who was unfairly excluded from government jobs due to a mistake made while filing her application form. As reported in the Hindustan Times, Shabana Pinjari, 41, had approached the court challenging her exclusion. She had applied to join the provisional select list prepared by the Maharashtra Public Service Commission for the posts of clerk cum typist in various state establishments. She complained that due to an error, she was denied a fair opportunity and was compelled to opt for an unreserved post meant for open category candidates. When she complained about the error, the Maharashtra Public Service Commission gave her an opportunity to change her application. However, instead of allowing her to benefit from all the available options, she was only allowed to opt for the unreserved post of a clerk cum typist. Justices M.S. Carnick and N.R. Borkar held that under the Persons with Disabilities Act, state government was obliged to provide additional support to persons with disabilities to facilitate their participation in society. Following the hearing, the court directed the Maharashtra Public Service Commission to recommend Ms. Panjari for the first available post for 100% visually impaired candidates. Back now to Chichester, where we land on the social media platform of blind footballer Toby Addison. Toby, 24, lost his sight suddenly at the age of 13 and has 4% vision. As a skilled footballer for West Brom and the England squad, Toby has a passion for fitness and popularising blind football. Acknowledging that many people may not be able to imagine what it's like living with visual impairment, he opened up his social media platform to invite his followers to ask him any questions, and they did. From the humorous, for example, "How do you know if your socks are on the correct foot?" Toby's answer, "I didn't know socks have a correct foot." To the factual, such as, "How do you vision yourself, as a kid or something completely different?" Toby's answer, "I picture myself how I looked at 15, before I went fully blind." And the technical, "When paying for something and you use your card, how do you know they're not overcharging you?" Toby's answer, "I don't, lol. Just have to trust people." Toby documents his blind football journey online and hopes one day he will compete in the Paralympics and Football World Cup. And now we travel into outer space. All these welcome stories about Earth-based support for people with visual impairment should come as a relief to astronauts returning from extended stays on the International Space Station, ISS. Approximately 70% of astronauts on long-duration missions report vision problems. NASA scientists are investigating why the weightless environment of space affects sight and why these vision changes may be permanent. This condition, called spaceflight-associated neuroocular syndrome, SANS, or SANS, is a major concern for long-term space travel. Unlike other space-related issues, like motion sickness or muscle loss, which improve quickly on Earth, SANS can cause lasting vision damage. The problem stems from microgravity, where the absence of gravity causes bodily fluids to shift upward, leading to facial swelling and increased pressure inside the skull. This pressure can flatten the eyeball's shape and swell the optic nerve, altering vision. Dr. Michael Roberts, NASA's lead vision researcher, emphasized the stakes, saying, "With Mars missions potentially lasting 2 to 3 years, addressing SANS is critical."
TNF Soundings.